Good evening, and welcome back to the Know Your Role Player podcast. I'm your host, J215 Forever. Follow your boy on IG, and on my IG page is my podcast page. That is at Know Your Role Player _podcast. The best way that you can listen to my podcast is to download the Anchor app. It's anchor.fm/KnowYourRolePlayer. It's KnowYaroleplayer. Whether you have Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Radio Public, iHeartRadio, or many, many more, you will always get notified when current episodes become available. All right, guys, welcome back. Sorry about that. Today is Friday, January 5th. Happy New Year's, everybody. All right, it's my first time with y'all. As you hear my voice, I'm finally feeling better from a horrific cold that I caught. I don't like going outside. I really don't. Every time I go outside, I just feel like germs and drama. You know, 2024 is the year of good health. All right. So real quick, point of order. All right. We're going to go back to our three times a week episode. I do have my official podcasting place back. So that's good. Again, one episode for the rest of this weekend. Then we go back to Monday, Wednesday, Friday, three episodes. I want to thank everybody, and I do want to talk about a couple of things. So this year, I want more, right? You know, towards the end of last year, I kind of looked at my thing, and I felt like I could have potted a little more. I don't think I want to always pod in the summer and force things, but I do think I want to make content available, right? And so I just want to see if I can try to get out. I didn't put the exact number of things, but I want more content. Also, I'm going to go back to doing highlight videos. I stopped them before because I got scared that they were going to take down my page, but I had to do some information. You can put them up for fair use as long as you, A, quote the NBA if you use them. So maybe via NBA highlight, and then, you know, you repost it, you know, because I didn't want my page to get taken down. I was scared. I'm not going to lie to y'all. All right. But listen. The name of this podcast is Go Tell Shams About It. All right. Everybody is calling Shams. There are some unhappy people in the NBA. And we got to start with the king, man. We got to start with the king. All right. I got to be fair. All right. When y'all tell me somebody is the greatest player of all time, I respect your opinion. But my thing is, to whom much is given, much is earned. Like, you got to take it with it. You don't get judged on a fair scale. You get judged on the highest scale. I've said this before. All right. And the reason why I say this is because the Lakers are kind of reeling a little bit. Now, the Lakers have multiple problems, and all their problems are not LeBron James' fault, right? I want to be fair and make sure I say that. But the Lakers also did win the play-in tournament. So they were playing well at one point. They got a couple of injuries. I do not like Marvin Hamm basically saying excuses about our injuries, right? I just think that's a bad thing as a coach to give in to something that you know is an issue. Yes, injuries are an issue, but we got to perform well, right? The 12 players on the roster, there's other guys that can suit up. When there's opportunity available, guys have to step up, right? So I don't like Darvin Ham's comment, basically kind of giving into the narrative that, eh, we're missing guys, you know, kind of comes with the territory, all right? Now, in their last game, the Lakers lost 110-96 to Miami. Now, I thought Miami was going to win the game. That wasn't the biggest deal. It's just, guys aren't playing well, right? So let's go to a couple guys. So Cam Reddish in that game, 19 minutes. Cam started out the season pretty good, and he's kind of fell back a little bit. Now, Austin Reeves started, and he finished with 24-8-5. He's played well. But again, let's go to Davis too, because people get on Davis all the time, you know, Mr. Inconsistent, which I don't agree. Sometimes, you know, we can demand more from Davis. I think that's fair. But he played really well, 29-17-6. So what did the king do? Because he left without talking to reporters, and the next day we got talked about Shams and Darvin Ham, you know, about unhappy rotations. And, you know, there's validity to all of that. But what did the king do? 6 out of 18, 0-6 from 3, 6 rebounds, 9 assists, and 12 points. Now, in 82 games, a superstar to me about having 5 or 6 games, maybe like 2 horrible games and maybe 6 games that aren't up to their standard. But to me, what makes a superstar is that they're going to give you something 95, 94% of the time, right? And again, one bad game is not fair. LeBron has been great this year. He's 39. I'm well aware of all of it. But it's just context. When you say you're the greatest player ever, and when y'all lose by 16 to the Miami Heat, and when you have 12 points, and then you don't talk to reporters, and the next day we get leaked to, we're not happy with Darvin Ham. Well, I'm not happy with you, dog. And so just put some of the blame on you. All right? Now you Louis Vuitton Brian. I should change the name of the pod to Louis Vuitton Brian. That's what I should do. But I ain't going to do that. All right? I just like, it got to be a fair scale. Again, I've said this point many times on this pod. It's the last time I'm saying it. No, it's not the last time I'm saying it. It's the last time I'm saying it for the next couple of minutes. When LeBron James wins, he's better than Jordan. And when LeBron loses, it's Darvin Ham's and it's everybody else's fault. It's the janitor's fault. It's the mayor's fault. It's the maintenance man's fault. It's everybody else's fault. Shift of responsibility. It drives me absolutely crazy, all right? Now, I got that off my chest. Let me go back to the Lakers. Guys are not playing well, all right? Issue number one for the Lakers started with me when they re-signed D'Angelo Russell and said, we're re-signing him because this is a fair deal. And it was also, they didn't officially say it, but it was also like said, like, yo, even if we don't keep him, this will be a great trade chip. In the playoffs last season, you saw all that you needed to see from D'Angelo Russell. It's not a talent issue. Everybody in the NBA and the National Basketball Association is talented, right? It's an issue about consistency, turnovers, and shot selection, excuse me. And when it comes to those things, Russell's horrible. He'll take some of the baddest shots. He stinks on defense. Remember before the season, y'all want to be Derek White. You're not going to be Derek White because you don't play defense. Two, LeBron put that ball back in his hands because he got tired of your decision-making. So for me, issue number one starts with front office re-signing a player that was one of the biggest issues why they didn't advance to the next round and not upgrading the point guard position. There are point guards available. There are better point guards than D'Angelo Russell available. D'Angelo Russell available. If you wanted to find a guy, you could have found a guy, right? That's not LeBron's fault. That's the GM's fault, right? But again, that's an issue, right? Then the next issue, other guys aren't playing up, playing well. Christian Wood is a fringe NBA player at this point, not because of skill, just because there's just a disconnect between the little things he needs to do, you know, rebounding, playing defense, consistent effort, not being moody. It's never a talent issue with Christian Wood. He has enough talent to average some real points. It's the other stuff. He's been okay. He hasn't played a lot of games. Jackson Hayes is not good. Jackson Hayes is not good. He shouldn't be starting. He shouldn't be getting minutes over Christian Hayes. All right? So I do agree with that issue. That's a coaching issue. Christy, he's okay. Rui Hachimura is hurt and D'Angelo Russell, tailbone contusion, right? So two of your biggest reserves are others or hashtag role players. They're not playing. James Vanderbilt has been a little bit of a disappointment, but you know what you were getting with him. You're getting defense, right? Okay, so to me, I know that y'all don't like the Lakers. If Davis, I don't know what you want to do, right? Because it's kind of tough with team construction. Davis talks about that he still wants a center playing the five, even though I don't know why, because there's not many big bruising centers anymore. All right? But he wants a guy to play the five and he wants to play the four. But his jump shot ain't four wise, right? So to me, the biggest upgrade you could do is the point guard position. There's a lot of guys. I do not think DeJounte Murray is what the Lakers need. They're probably better off getting Trae Young than DeJounte Murray. I'll explain that in a second. DeJounte Murray is a fine NBA player. He's an improved shooter. You know, there's some clutch things going on. But I don't think that's what they need. I think they needed a guy like, I don't know, Michael Conley. The guy that you could have got when you did a three-team deal. And I think it's funny because I thought Michael Conley, you know, not a big name, a respectable player, but a guy that doesn't turn the ball over. He takes good shots. He plays good defense. He's a very good help defender. He does not hurt your team on the bottom line, on the things that you need to do to win the game. And it's so frustrating. Like, because I picked the Lakers to go to the Western Conference. I think I picked the Lakers to almost win the championship, or at least go to the Western Conference Finals. And it wasn't a crazy pick based off of their defense and their rebounding last year. But the offense is sputtering, right? Your defense isn't what it is. And then you're kind of pushing the thing on LeBron. Like, his minutes is high and his usage is high. and this isn't sustainable. What happened to Brian? He wore it down in the playoffs. Oh, so let's just play him all these crazy minutes, have him save our team in the beginning of the season, and then we're going to crash and burn in the playoffs again. Not sustainable. So, again, issues with the Lakers. Issue number one, offseason acquirements. You did not upgrade the point guard position. You re-signed D'Angelo Russell. Jackson Hayes is not good. Christian Wood is not good. Cam Reddish, I like him. I don't have a problem with it, but he's not been playing well. That is four rotational players. We have an issue. We have an issue. Oh, Darvin Ham. Darvin Ham is using what you gave Darvin Ham. Before we talk about the coach, what did we give the coach, right? Come on, man. So blame got to go all around. Let's give some blame to LeBron. Let's give some blame to D'Angelo Russell. Let's give some blame to Darvin Ham. Let's give some blame to the GM. It's all around. Nope, it's no one man. It's not all on Darvin Ham. Because, again, y'all fired Frank Vogel, and y'all said, that'll fix him. No, I didn't fix him. Frank Vogel got his own issues on offense. All right, I ain't here to defend him either. But it's just too much, right? Back to the Lakers in the point guard situation. Damian Lillard was y'all best fit to me. Now, Portland was not trading. To me, Portland was not trading Dame to Miami. They just wasn't doing it. All right, they wasn't feeling it. They just didn't want to do it. And they just wasn't doing it. Y'all could have got in there. First round picks. Y'all the Lakers. The Lakers make it happen, right? So y'all could have made it happen. Three-team deal, something. How much was there heavily interested in getting Damian Lillard? All right, well, you can't get Lillard now, right? So you better get a point guard that can play defense. You need some 3-and-D players. But, yo, y'all need shooting, though. If you got Davis and LeBron, it should be shooting and defense. You should have lights out shooters on this team. Who's your lights out shooter? Who? Name him. Come on, man. So it's just kind of frustrating. I had to get that off, right? And so this problem's in LA and this problem's in California. So let's go over to the Bay and an issue that I just y'all, again, if you listen to the pod, I've been talking about this for a long time. Kuminga, 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 Kuminga. The last 2 years, I thought the development of Jonathan Kuminga was so imperative for Golden State to grow because you got a lot of Clay last year. You probably got more than what you probably expected, and you kind of just expected that again. And then Kuminga's minutes is fluctuating. Even yesterday, he has a really good game, and he doesn't play like the whole a massive stretch of the game. And so after the game, he leaves as soon as Joker hits a bank shot, right? So, again, let me give some context. The Warriors were playing really well yesterday, all right? They wound up losing to the Nuggets 130-127 on a Joker buzzer-beater shot. But they were up this game. They were outplaying them. They were hitting shots. You were having good games from Steph, good games from Klay. You were really performing well on all cylinders as a team. A lot of guys stepped up. Again, Curry 30, Klay 24, Kuminga 16, Dario Saric 13-6, Pazinski 13-5, Wiggins 11. A lot of guys played well. It was a good team effort. Chris Paul 9.6 assists, 4 rebounds. A lot of guys played well. But Kuminga played 19 minutes in that game. That's crazy. There is a Steve Kerr's loyalty is commendable. I understand that, yo, you won championships with that roster. Let me give a little bit of context. So the Chicago Bulls, I don't even know if he's on the team. I don't even give the context, but I'm gonna say this: Steve Kerr is a loyal guy, and he understands championship rosters and resolve. Now he also understands that this team doesn't have a lot of time left, right? So I believe he says, "Let these guys go out with, you know, let these guys go out." But the problem is, you still simultaneously have younger guys on the team. Moses Moody, Jonathan Kuminga, you got Pozlinski, you're playing now, Jackson. You got a roster of half veterans, half young guys. And when you won the championship, excuse me, when you won the championship, it was supposed to be like, okay, we won, let these guys get it, let our starters fall back, let's have, you know, these guys get 28 to 30 minutes. Let's have our guys play 29, 28 minutes, and let's do the transition. Most of that got stopped with Draymond Green punching Jordan Poole in the mouth, and Jordan Poole having a horrible season. All right? And then your two draft picks, all right? Again, I'm standing by the Kuminga pick because I do see the talent and I see why you drafted him. James Wiseman, I'm going to say this. The biggest issue with James Wiseman is not talent. Again, he's not looking good. All right, he's in a backup position in Detroit. It's not looking good. But what Wiseman was, in Memphis, he didn't play a lot of, in college, he didn't play a lot of games, and he didn't play a lot of games his first 2 years. So when he finally played and you needed him, and he played in the year that they stunk, and they got another high draft pick, he was just kind of learning. He needs experience and reps. He does some things well. He misses out on some other things. He does have talent, though, right? But again, if you drafted him number two, he has to pan out. Because do you know how many other good players were in that draft? Yo, that whole draft, I just said draft LaMelo, don't worry about it. Draft LaMelo, figure the rest out. Draft LaMelo, figure the rest out. Could have drafted Halliburton. There were so many guys that you could have drafted in that draft, and so it's your fault, right? So that kind of goes to you. And this is why you see the GM, my man, he got up out of there, right? Because he said, yo, I see all this dumb stuff happening. So back to Steve Kerr, right? Let's stay on topic. Steve Kerr has a loyalty to the championship core of Stephen Curry, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson, right? As soon as Wiggins started playing bad, my man got benched, and I'm not arguing it. But Klay probably should have got benched at some point. Now, I understand that Klay is tenured. And I do understand in the context that, yo, you might lose him if you bench him. He might sulk. He might check out. He might not. Like, I can get how I can go bad and how you kind of got to manage that situation, right? But Kerr's whole thing is managing, right? Yo, real quick, who was good with developing young players? That's right, Mark Jackson. But y'all told me, I was told that he wasn't a good coach and he didn't do anything. Well, look who's struggling to develop young players while still playing some old veterans now. It's funny how the game works. All right? Klay Thompson should have been benched multiple times. He should have got sat down. He was taking bad shots. His body language is bad. He talked to him about it. At some point, he should have got benched, right? If you wanted to put him back in the starting lineup, that's fine. You need the shooting. You need him. But to me, Moody and Kuminga should have been playing 28 to 30 minutes to start the season. Wiggins should have played with him. That was your core. Draymond, Klay, those guys fall back on the 28-minute thing. They can still start, but they can't be getting all these minutes. Klay shouldn't be playing 35 minutes. He shouldn't. Why is Klay Thompson playing 35 minutes? Now, I'm going to be honest with Kuminga. Kuminga is very talented. He's very strong going to the rim. All right, he's improved his three-point shot. His ball handling is still suspect. He's a willing passer, but he's not a good passer, right? He can make some passes, but he still turns the ball over a lot. There's a lot of things Kuminga needs to work on, all right? I'm not here saying that he's it, but he has talent and he has promise, right? And you're not playing your promise. You're playing the old guys. Well, what happens to this old tour? You won Game 7 versus Sacramento because Steph Curry went off. You lost to the Lakers because they took everything else away and Curry wore down. We'll come back next season. You got young talent, and you're not playing with them. So what happens? You're up a good game. You turn the ball over. Steph Curry has a horrible turnover late in the game where he passes where he should have shot the ball. They call a timeout. Nikola Jokic takes two dribbles, hits some crazy three-point bank shot. Right? Y'all lose the game that y'all should have won and y'all needed to win. Right? After the game, as soon as Nikola Jokic hits that shot, Kuminga walks off, frustrated. I get it. We hear the next day, which is Friday, Jonathan Kuminga no longer... Let me make sure I get the exact words because I don't want to get this wrong. I don't want to get this wrong, yo. This pod is going to be a little bit longer. Again, I apologize for my voice. I still hear the guckiness, but I'm working with y'all. All right, real quick, I'm going to give y'all the exact quote from Shams. After sitting the final 18 minutes of the loss... Warriors forward Jonathan Kuminga has lost faith in Steve Kerr and no longer believes that Kerr will allow him to reach his full potential, sources say. All right? Two people say this. Kuminga says this to his agent, or Kuminga tells himself, he probably tells the agent to tell him that. But he wanted to get that out there. Now, I hear a lot of people saying Kuminga isn't the type of player to do this. Yo, it's 2023, dog. If that's how you feel, you probably should have told your coach that and your GM that. Or maybe you told him that, and I don't know, because we don't know. But, hey, that was the decision he made, right? Is he the caliber of player to do that? No, but hey, man. It's his career and he's fighting for it. Right after that, another report comes out that Moses Moody is unhappy with his role. Those are the two young guys you're supposed to be playing. And again, I'm not as high on Moody as I am on Kuminga, but Moody can play. He's a good 3 and D player. He should be playing. But again, you want to keep playing Wiggins? Well, Wiggins doesn't play as much. Want to play Thompson 35 minutes? Good luck, man. Good luck. So, yeah, that's the second issue. The Warriors have multiple issues. So, again, from a team perspective, when I watch the Warriors, they're just way too small. They get smoked on the glass. They get smoked on paint points. They don't have a physical presence, interior. And it's kind of tough because Kevin Looney is a good player, but Kevin Looney is a power forward playing center. Right, he is. They need somebody with size. Now, don't laugh at me. Andre Drummond went to the minimum to Chicago. I know Drummond got his issues, but he can rebound. He's one of the best rebounding per minute players in the league, and he's big. He's a legit 7 feet. He's legit, and he can do the pick and roll. Again, not perfect by any means, and he can pass too. So I don't know. Maybe they didn't want that. I think they worked out Dwight Howard in the summer. Like, yo, what's going on, man? Seriously. So issue number one is a big. When I hear Pascal Siakam, Zach LaVine, yo, Zach LaVine is the last thing they need is another guard forward. Obviously, if you get LaVine, guys are leaving. But that ain't going to make your team no better. You need front court size. Now, let's go to Pascal Siakam. Pascal Siakam is a good defender. He's a smart passer. He's an okay three-point shooter. He's a decent scorer. And he's a good player to understand team concepts. I don't have a problem with the Pascal. Pascal's in the last year of his contract. I don't know if he's resigning. Let's go back to Shams again because everybody want to tell Shams, all right? So Shams says the Raptors are ramping up on trade talks with a Western Conference playoff contender. So let me finish up my Warriors point, and I want to go back to Siakam. So again, issue to me, number one, was front court. You don't have a shot blocker. You struggle at rebounding. Issue number two was you did not continue to develop and play the young players. I've been saying Kuminga on here every 2 years. If you just listen, why does this guy talk about Kuminga so much? Because that should have been the guy. I don't know if he's the guy, but we need to find out. Now he don't even want to be there. It'll be interesting to see what he does against Detroit tonight. It'll be interesting to see what Steve Kerr does. I want to get all the quotes and bring this back up on Monday. I'm sticking on this story, right? I don't think the Warriors are making the playoffs. They're going to beat bad teams. They're going to play better when Draymond comes. They got to make a move. They got to decide whether they're done with the veterans and they're going with the young guys or they're going to do one last kumbaya. Hey, we can get this one more run. That championship that they got from the Celtics was a gift. It was a gift because, one, the Celtics should have won, right? Two, you got your core and you got another one. You really could have set it up with the draft picks and the players. You know, y'all fumble. Multiple people fumble. Kerr, my man, the GM that left, multiple people fumble, right? So, again, problems in L.A., point guard, bench production, three-point shooting. Problems in Golden State, front court, defense, rebounding, paint presence, age, old guys. Oh, and Kerr. Mismanagement by Kerr is one of the biggest issues on the team, all right? Woo! Last team, Sacramento Kings. As good as Sacramento was last year, and as good as they still are, and the talent that they have, they don't play any defense. And they're not going to hit their ceiling until they get rim protection, to me. Now, they're another team that's inquiring about Pascal Siakam. I'm about to bring this thing full circle. They're another team that's inquiring about Pascal Siakam. Pascal Siakam is a good addition to the Sacramento Kings. He can play defense. He can play with Sabonis. To me, even with Pascal Siakam, you need a center that can play 25 minutes on his team with some type of rim protection. All right? I know it's so hard to find, but a center that can shoot or a center that can, you know, defense and rebounding, you need some type of paint presence in there. Because y'all be getting smoked on the glass. Well, y'all don't get smoked in the glass as much. But they don't have a rim presence either. All right? And they don't have enough defense. 3 and D wings. They got a lot of issues themselves, right? So real quick, It was reported by Shams, and Shams know his stuff, that Kuminga is going to be traded to a Western Conference team. The trade deadline's in February. One thing about Masai Ujiri, the president of basketball operations for the Toronto Raptors, he hasn't made moves. So we did trade OG to the Knicks, right? I think that was a good deal for both teams. And he's going to trade Pascal Siakam. And he's going to basically give the whole keys to Scottie Barnes. Now, it's kind of weird because at this current time, I still believe that Pascal is a better player than Scottie. But obviously, Scottie has the higher ceiling. And Scottie's shooting, rebounding, and passing has a real chance to be special, right? But just kind of a weird dynamic when them two play together. And, you know, you get these mixed games from Siakam. When he goes off this game, he doesn't go off this game. He's kind of passing, he rebounds. I think they're better off going in their own direction. They probably should have did this last year or the offseason. But whatever. So my thing is, where is Pascal Siakam going? We got the Kings. We got the Warriors. Let's see who else we got. I definitely think he's going to the Western Conference. There was talks about the Sixers getting Pascal Siakam. I don't think we have the assets, and I don't think Toronto is trying to trade with us anyway. All right, so real quick. Lakers is a no. Rockets is a no. Dallas is a maybe. I actually think the best fit for Siakam is Dallas. I think that's the best fit. I think if they got him, they would absolutely take off, right? Memphis, no. Portland, it doesn't make sense. San Antonio, doesn't make sense. So again, if I had to look at three teams, it's either Golden State, Sacramento, or Dallas. I don't think Dallas got some of the assets. Dallas can do it. If I had to rank it, I would say Sacramento 1, Golden State 2, and Dallas 3. But I actually wouldn't be surprised if Dallas got them. It would be an aggressive move, but it would put you... To me, if you got Luka and Kyrie, you're trying to get the championship now. If you add Pascal Siakam, you are one of the best three teams in the Western Conference to me. To me. I could be wrong. Could be a bad take, but I'm going to stand on that take. All right? Woo! All right. I'm almost done, y'all. I'm sorry. This is going to be a long episode. I just had a lot to get off my chest. All right. A couple other news and notes. Zach LaVine is returning. Good. He needs to come back, play well, get treated. All right? Ricky Rubio retired. Oh, man, let's talk about this real quick. Ricky Rubio released, he posted a message on Thursday about his announcement and said he was in a very dark place and he is retiring from the NBA. He is expected to continue to play ball in the Spanish League, but he is expected to retire. So Donovan Mitchell says, I feel like he can breathe, and I quote, I'm not speaking for him, but I feel like it's just one of those things where it kind of, like, the indecision of what you want to do can be a lot. I'm just happy that he can finally has time to feel that he can breathe and just go pick up his son from school and be with his family from Spain. Ricky Rubio is 33. Ricky Rubio, if you don't know, was a huge basketball, like, when he was 16, he was on the Olympic team, right, for Spain. All that, superstar passer, tore his ACL, career kind of went the same, kind of reinvented himself as a good guard off the bench. I don't want to speak for him, but, you know, I'm going to say it was a slightly disappointing career because I thought the world of him. I mean, again, if you can pass, you can play to me. He had beautiful vision. He kind of tore his ankle, not or ankle, he tore his ACL, and it kind of derailed his career, but it's kind of sad to see the end of it. But again, mental health is way more important than basketball. Ricky Rubio is 33 years old. He'll continue to play basketball. He can be with his family now. And again, if you have to walk away from the game, you got to protect your mental health. So I'm happy that he found a solution. And I'm looking forward to see whatever Ricky Rubio has done in the future. All right? Couple other news and notes. Joe Dumars was fined $100,000. Excuse me. The Nets was fined $100,000 for sitting multiple players in the game last week per the league violation participation policy. It's probably the first time the $100K went out and fined a team. This is good because this was egregious, right? There is a deal between sports betting and the NBA. And so I do think there has to be transparency because it's a business. And, you know, I wonder if a lawsuit's going to come down at some point with, like, not being transparent about who's playing, who's not in minutes. Because, I don't know, if you know, if you're not, there's, like, gamesmanship involved. If you're not telling me who's going to play because you think it's going to give your other team an advantage, whatever. But I do think transparency matters, and I hope this continues to happen. If you're healthy and you're not playing, 100K. Keep racking them up. And to me, 100K isn't enough because it's not taken out of your cap. It's just taken from the team, right? Draft compensation. First time 100K. Second time use the second round pick. Third time use the first round pick. I guarantee you we ain't gonna have this issue no more. All right? This rule has been a good rule overall. Last thing I haven't talked about, I didn't get a chance because I didn't pod in the last 5 days, about the OG RJ Brunson, the trade, the Knicks-Toronto trade. All right? The Knicks are positioning themselves well. I think this is a trade that benefits both teams. Go quickly, RJ Barrett, Malachi Flynn, a couple other guys go to Toronto. The Knicks get OG. All right? So, one, RJ Barrett did not fit well with Julius Randle and Jalen Brunson. He didn't fit well, right? He needs to dribble. He wants to create his own shot. OG spots up, plays defense, can guard multiple positions. It is a seamless fit. No, this does not make the Knicks a championship roster, but this does put the Knicks in the position to acquire a superstar and have a championship roster next, right? You got to shout out to Leon Rose. I think this is a great move, right? This is a move to set up for the move, right? So this isn't the final move, but again, every year and a half, I say, a superstar becomes disgruntled. So you kind of got to wait for the next superstar to become disgruntled and you go. Again, Donovan Mitchell's what some people say. You got to ask yourself, do you want a Donovan Mitchell, Jalen Brunson backcourt? Or, you know, there's some more questions to be figured out, or Julius Randle, but I love the move and I think the Knicks is going to do good. I'm going to wrap it up right there, all right? Kind of struggling a little bit. Like, share, and subscribe. I appreciate y'all. Happy New Year's to y'all. We're going to be back Monday with a new pod episode. I'll be feeling a lot better about it. Again, apologize for my voice. I know I sound a little raspy, but I had to get a pod out. We're into the new year. Please like, share, and subscribe. Tell a friend to tell another friend to tell another friend to check out the pod. Hashtag KNOWYAROLE. PLAYER. Know your role player. Peace!